second week of February, we find ourselves in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett. Really appreciate you. I know you had a really busy day today, so thanks for slipping us in today.
Yeah, and it's one of those days, but I love doing this, so I'm glad we could make it work.
So just start with a quick weather update, because I know Vigo County, we had flood warnings, we've had winter weather advisories, winter storm warnings, we had wind chill warnings. Are you keeping up with all the weather?
Yeah, it's been, you know, overall it's been a pretty mild winter, but we've had some crazy weather recently. And, you know, we haven't had much winter weather, I guess, from that perspective of a lot of snow or ice just a couple different times, but it went away pretty quickly. But right now I'm more worried about the flooding than anything. Everything is saturated. And so depending on what the weather happens over the next few days or week, you know, we could really see some serious flooding around here if we get a lot more rain. And so that's probably the biggest concern. That cold weather was awful, but at least it only lasted a few days. It's just been a crazy, you know, all over the place winter, but it's been better overall than not. And just means we're one step closer to spring here every day we get.
Potholes becoming a problem, I assume, everywhere. Everyone thinks it's just their city.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, I talk to other mayors and it's like, well, here we go. We're moving into pothole season. It's awful. And when you have this really cold weather, you have this wet weather, that's the worst thing that happens, because that water soaks down in the cracks, it freezes, expands it, car hits it, the pothole just opens up. And it's hard for us to keep up. Two reasons. One is we don't have enough people to cover all the roads and all the potholes. But the second thing is when there's water standing in the pothole, we just really can't fill it very well. It won't stick. And so you need some dry days in there to get caught up. And, you know, we're just asking people to be patient. If you find a pothole, you see one, especially a big one, call 311 and we'll get on that as fast as we can. We want to know about those. We know there's plenty of them out there, but just be patient.
Those that may be experiencing homelessness during some of these negative, you know, 10, 15 degree wind chill days, are there places for people to go to stay warm?
Yeah, you know, I think we need to do a better job with that, to have some predetermined locations. Local organization Reach Services stepped up recently, and some people went out and gave some homeless folks some rides to get there. But we need a little bit better strategy on how to deal with that. I mean, you know, when it gets down well below zero and wind chills that are 20 or 30 below, you know, you just can't survive that, and you need to be inside somewhere. We've got a lot of people that are very passionate about that and organizations, but I think we need to do a little bit better job, and I'm hoping that County EMA will help with that as we move forward. I think we learned some lessons from this last, several days of cold, and there's been a lot of feedback, and so I'm hopeful we can circle the wagons here a little bit and come up with a better strategy on how to red flag, white flag kind of thing. You've heard those terms before. We need some places where people know ahead of time that's where it's at.
Let's get to the convention center. I know we've been talking about this the last few shows. The city council approved the closure of 8th Street, and that's where the convention center would sit.
Right.
So now does it go to the planning in terms of how does traffic flow in that area once that street is closed?
Well, it'll be fine. It really will. And we've done some traffic studies. We've looked at it ourselves way before this to make sure that we didn't think it would create some big issues, and it won't. In, you know, every community that builds a convention center typically closes a street or two because you have to drop it in somewhere. It's bigger than a normal block because usually there's something already there, so you have to close a street. In this case, traffic will be able to, instead of coming south on 8th Street, they're going to have to go to the west and go to 7th Street and go down. It'll be just fine. It really will, and I don't think there'll be really minimal impacts to people.
And I think maybe part of that concern is the fact that the Holman Center is just a couple blocks away.
So right across the street, actually.
Yeah, so you could have an event of, 8,000 people there, maybe an additional 500 cars, but that's not, you don't think
we
that
don't,
could
we
be
We really
issue.
Don't think yeah. that's going to happen very often throughout the year. Most of those big events at Holman Center are scheduled way in advance. Our goal will be to work within their schedule, and hopefully they'll work with our schedule to make sure that we have afternoon things, evening things. We can kind of time it so that everybody's not hitting the street at the same moment.
So what's next?
So utility relocation will really begin here very quickly. Planning has already been done on that. We just had to make sure the street was going to be vacated, And so you'll see a variety of utilities in there beginning to move their things out of the way. And we'll get the design done on the building here very soon. And, you know, you'll start to see some activity there.
Yeah, I saw some renderings from the Terre Haute, I think the visitors in chamber that issued those.
Yep.
So that's moving along. In terms of the Anchor Hotel, has that been decided yet?
No, but they're very close. They're continuing to negotiate. It's going to happen. It's just, you know, it's kind of like, all right, are all the pieces falling into place? Before people are going to commit private money, they're going to make sure that the public side has done everything we need to do to advance this project. So we're right where we want to be.
Let's move ahead with the next new item, the casino bill that's making news headlines here in Terre Haute. The Senate Public Policy Committee advanced the bill, and now the next step is for another committee to hear the bill right before it gets to the full Senate. Is that
right.
Correct?
Yep.
And that is, I believe, now we just heard from a tweet from another local reporter here in Terre Haute that it's not this week. Does that mean it's dead?
No, I think what I'd heard last week, it might be heard this week. They meet on Thursdays, but it might be pushed back another week, and it sounds like you got a confirmation of that today. I had not heard that yet, but I'm not surprised at all. Anytime you do a bill advances that has anything to do with state revenues, it's always going to go to the Appropriations Committee. And so that's its next destination. Has to be heard there at some point if it's going to move on. And so my guess is they've just advanced it to the following week, next week, and you know we'll still get the hearing on that. I've not heard anything differently.
Something I thought that was really interesting in the bill is that it sends revenue money to other casino cities who feel like they would lose money with changing the current state casino operations. So for an example, a casino here could send $6 million to Evansville to make up for that, or $3 million to French Lick. Are you concerned about those appropriations going to other cities if a casino were to come here to Terre Haute?
No, not. I mean, I understand that everybody wants to provide some coverage. I get that. So there's one big pie, and when you start making the pieces smaller, then people are like, well, wait a minute. If we're losing to these guys, then we need to get something back. My guess is it won't stay in the same form that it's in right now. That's just my take. Talking to legislators and others behind the scenes, that's just an opportunity for them to say, hey, listen, here's what we think we should get out of it. What gets negotiated, I really don't know. Most of that, though, or all of that, comes off the top of the operator. So it won't affect our portion that we get locally, but it'll sure affect the profit margin of the operator. So everybody will kind of sort that out over the coming weeks. I don't know what'll stay in and what won't, but I don't think it'll stay in at the levels they're at now.
Spectacle Entertainment, which includes a business partner from Terre Haute and one of those looking to bring the casino, already has what looked like a rendering that they issued of what a casino could look like in Terre Haute. Is that, I mean, in your mind, is that a way to show people here who may be a little weary about having a casino what that could look like here?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, and just people have to kind of get something in your mind at least about, okay, this is kind of what the thing might be. A lot of questions about where it might be in the community. Those are still floating around out there. But, you know, the response has been very positive so far. I just think people are looking for more details. They kind of like the fact that there's an opportunity for Terre Haute. That's why I'm behind this. I want to give us the opportunity. Let the voters decide through a referendum whether it comes here or not once we get through all these steps. And then if people want it, it'll come. That's what it might look like, but until they design it, we won't know for sure. But it'll be a very attractive, attention, you know, gathering kind of a entertainment complex. It'll have more than just a casino in it. So I think it'd be a good thing for our community from an economic development perspective, and we want to share as much information just to say, here it is, you can support it or not, but we want you to know all the facts.
And I know you talked about jobs too. Do these bring the right type of jobs to Terre Haute?
They're good paying jobs. So there'll be about 500 construction jobs for quite a period of time. So put a lot of local labor to work. Then there'll be about 400 jobs in the casino. Probably two thirds of those jobs will be paying around $20 an hour. That's pretty good from a perspective of diversifying our economy and providing good, stable jobs for people. Now, it doesn't mean that's something you want to do, but, you know, if you get into that retail entertainment business, it will be a good, steady, long-term job for people.
How about just updates on the stormwater sewer project?
We got our bids back recently. They came in under the engineering estimate, so that's good. So we'll be starting projects this spring, a new lift station, new high rate treatment facility, and then at some point we'll be doing a green project, most likely the City Hall parking lot, where we'll capture the stormwater here and not put it into the sewer system, and deal with it on our property. So those are the three components of this next phase of the long-term control plan. So all the funding's there, it's been bid out, we're gonna award the bids next week, and we'll get construction started very soon.
How about—
Right on schedule.
Right on schedule.
Yep.
And funding mechanisms are—
Already, good. The I mean, loan's already been already. Closed, so we're yeah. good to go. We don't have yeah. to do anything else. We just need to award the bids and get the contractor started.
I wanted to ask you about, I believe, is it the city that was looking into purchase a Lenco Bearcat armored vehicle?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I don't know if you followed the news in Bloomington last
yes,
year.
Yes, very closely, because I knew it was kind of coming here, so I followed that. Yes,
okay,
I'm very familiar with that.
I thought so, but you know,
that's okay.
You're a busy man, so, you know, it raised a lot of controversy. I think part of it was a lack of transparency that some blamed the mayor on there. But that the vehicle also just not necessary, as a waste of money, creating an atmosphere of something that you would see in a war zone than in a downtown Indiana city. What's the feeling been like here?
Been very well received. We had one local pastor that kind of pushed back a little bit, came to city council meeting, wrote some letters to the editor, kind of made a little bit of a stink about it, just because he feels that it's that same thing. We don't need that kind of equipment. It's intimidating, those kinds of things. And, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but public safety is the most important thing that we can do. And we already have an MRAP unit. And if anybody's familiar with an MRAP, it's a big, tall piece of military equipment. It's twice the size of this Bearcat that we already use now. And we want to eventually take that out of service down the road, not, you know, immediately. But our goal is to have something that's small and more mobile that can go down alleys. We found out when we had an incident last year up on the avenues, very narrow alleys, we couldn't even get the MRAP unit down through the alley. We had a situation where somebody was holed up in a house and firing hundreds of shots out of the house. Well, you need to have this protective piece of equipment to extract people out of situations like that, get officers close to the situation. And we've had two police officers that have been killed just in the last, you know, years. We have got to provide every tool and every resource we can to keep our officers safe and keep the public safe. We've got a $100,000 grant from the state to help pay for this, so it basically covers almost half of the cost. And we're going to move this forward, get it done, and get it into service as fast as we can. And one of the things I mentioned to people is, maybe you don't like that military type of equipment, but if we didn't have any equipment and we called the state police, because they would have to respond with an SRT team, they would drive a Bearcat over here. So whether we have one or the state police uses it, it's an important piece of equipment. I mean, people out there have a lot of heavy duty weapons and we need to be able to protect ourselves and the public.
Any road construction updates?
Not right now. You know, we wrap things up other than Margaret Avenue, the overpass. We'll get on that one in the spring. And then we'll be doing First and Prairieton or First and Holman and the Poplar Street project this year, and then just a lot of paving. So those are our two big projects for this year, though.
Okay. I know people always ask about
that.
They do.
I mean, that's a regular thing.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to wrap up on a Main Street tour that was taken here recently. I think it was a survey to improve the downtown. And briefly, this is in microcosm here, but briefly concluded that the area would— downtown area should be more than just a place to eat. So, and that's what I feel like from reporting down here for the last few years is what you're trying to do. All the downtown museums, a convention center, you know, ISU is renovating the Holman Center. Mm-hmm. You're on target, aren't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, before people invest their private money, there has to be foot traffic, there has to be vehicle traffic, there has to be people coming downtown in order for their business to make it. We've got some businesses that have been there for 50, 60, 70 years and are doing fine, but for new ones to come in, they're like, well, we got to have the traffic, we got to have the people. We're trying to drive that kind of a thing. Through the convention center, we're going to bring lots more people downtown. You know, the Holman Center being remodeled, as you mentioned, those are two specific things. We'll have 9 museums within walking distance of the convention center when it opens. And so our goal is to continue to work on the tourism component. It's just another diversification of our economy. But if you bring those people downtown, then those private dollars will come to make those investments in retail and a variety of things, and hopefully more places to eat and more destinations. And so, you know, it's kind of the chicken or the egg thing sometimes, but we've got a lot of businesses that are doing very well downtown, but we'd love for them to do even better, and then we want new business to come. And I really believe these two things will be drivers, the convention center and the Holman Center remodel.
And this is nothing new from all the cities we go to. Mm-hmm. Every Columbus, Kokomo have the same type of plan, and I feel like it's a resurgence of downtown living.
It really is. And we've had some, you know, housing downtown, but you need something to not only get those people engaged with, but we need to bring outside folks in. You know, a lot of people don't go downtown unless they have to do business, you know, or they come to a ball game or whatever. We want to encourage lots of different venue opportunities here where you'll get a wide variety of people to come and visit these things, whether it's a museum or the symphony or, you know, coming to an event at the convention center. We want this to really become the hub of activity, kind of be a community center, if you will, downtown. So it'll not only deal with people from out of town, but in the city or in the community. And it'll really help these people who want to invest downtown to go ahead and make those investments. And it's worked elsewhere. We really looked at those models. We don't think we're doing anything unique, but we think it's something we have to do.
And I should clarify too, this goes back to the casino that we talked about. There's no proposed site for that downtown or anywhere, is there?
No, other than I think everybody involved with this thinks it needs to be close to I-70. Our goal is to draw Illinois people in, Indianapolis people into this casino. So my guess is it's going to be located near the interstate, and you'll see that all other casinos that come out, like when Evansville's an example, they're right there on the river, and they couldn't move it out to the, you know, on the interstate because it's too far away. But the one in Gary, they want to move it out to the intersection of two major interstates. They want to be easy access. And that's kind of the model you'll see as it moves forward. So a new casino here are most likely to be located very near I-70.
That's all I had. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, just an exciting time. I think this is going to be a good year for us. This casino thing's kind of it's a big deal right now. It has a lot of publicity, but just the things that we're going to be doing, I'm just really looking forward to 2019. And we just, I don't know, things are going very well, and our community's excited, and we just got to keep it going. So that's really what this year's all about. Quality of life initiatives. You know, I've said that before, but that's our focus moving forward. Find those things that make us unique and stand out.